Greetings, friends, fellow patriots, fellow citizens, and even non-citizens from around the country and around the world. Welcome to this week's edition of the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. My name is Tom Zawistowski, and I'm the host of this podcast, and I'm awful glad to have you joining us again for this week's podcast, whether you're a longtime viewer or you're new to this podcast. I just want to take a quick moment to point out that I hope you all had a chance to watch the eclipse on Monday. We happen to be kind of at ground zero here in the Akron, Ohio area. And I got this picture of the eclipse from our front yard as we had a great view of it. And Nan and I sat out there in our chairs and watched it. It was kind of more spectacular than I expected. Didn't know quite what to expect. Never been in a total eclipse. And, I had the little glasses on, which I wore for you last week. And, and it was, it's just, interesting to see as it developed. But then when the full eclipse happened and you were looking through the glasses, it was like total blackness. And you're like, whoa, what's this? And then you took the glasses off because you're allowed to during the full eclipse, and you saw that beautiful image. And it was awe-inspiring. It was interesting. And we had a good crowd of people out in our neighborhood, watching and around the country. And I hope you got to see it. It was quite an experience. Really was great. So I hope you had that opportunity. As you know, this podcast and everything we do at the We the People Convention is paid for through the generous donations by the members of our organization. And you can join those members at wethepeopleconvention.org and click on the donate link to help support our efforts. And as I say every week, that includes paying for this podcast, the biggest expense of which is promoting it through text messages and emails, which costs us thousands of dollars a month to reach our 100,000 members around the country, but also to pay for our beautiful website and for our trips. As I spoke to you last week about going to speak to high school students about, being a conservative and the state of our nation. But I want to give an example when I say that we also donate to other conservative groups and causes. This is a story that I don't want you to forget. This is about Doug Mackey. And Doug Mackey is the guy who put out the meme about during the Clinton election, which basically told voters that they could vote doing a text, right? I mean, here's actually the picture. I can show you what the meme looked like if you want to see it. Oh, getting it there. Okay, close enough. Okay, there it is. Okay, and his politically weaponized conviction raised the First Amendment question about how we distinguish between humor and freedom of speech on the internet. Steve Bannon and Darren Beatty, took his cause because it's just being lost in all the other nonsense. So basically, a lot is going on with this important case, and they're saying that we need to, all of us need to fight for this guy. The silver lining is that Mackey isn't standing down. He's fighting for all of us. The young husband and father is ready to carry this crucial First Amendment fight right to the Supreme Court's doorstep, but he can't do it alone. Facing off against the Biden regime and it's this David versus Goliath showdown isn't easy, and it's not cheap either. Mr. Mackey needs our support to fuel an all-important First Amendment fight. Mackey's just one man setting up for freedom against a well-oiled tyrannical force. We need to join his battle. And so you can go to givesendgo.com/Doug Douglas Mackey, M-A-C-K-E-Y case. Just go to givesendgo.com and search for Douglas Mackey. But what I want to say to you is that when I say that the donations you make to the We the People Convention go to support other causes, we made a donation to Doug Mackey this week in your name, in the name of the We the People Convention. So that's just another example of what your donations to the We the People Convention can do. And I know that everyone can't afford to do so, particularly in this incredibly insane economy with the inflation the way it is. But for those of you who have the resources who can help, your donations help in so many ways the conservative cause throughout the United States. And we thank you for that support. We thank you so much. So, you know, I wanted to make sure you guys, you know, got that message that, you know, there's an example of something that's that small. I mean, that's not a big thing, but I mean, we've given as much as like $10,000 to Turning Point USA. We've given thousands of dollars to, you know, True the Vote and other groups, because we're looking for opportunities where we can make a difference. The Mackey case is a case where we can make a difference. That ruling has to be overturned. Free speech must be protected, and that's the left is trying to kill. So that's why we made a donation in your name. As you can see, our flag is still flying upside down. That is not a sign of disrespect for those of you who, you know, watch podcasts all the time. It's a warning to our fellow citizens that we are in dire distress as a nation, and that there's danger both to our life and our property. And that is not any kind of a, you know, an exaggeration, as this podcast and all of our podcasts will show. Particularly what we're talking about is that we are at war with China. We don't say that. China is at war with us, but we act like we're not at war with them. If you go to our website at wethepeopleconvention.org, I changed the main link that says, why is our flag upside down? So you can get all that information. And I ask you to do that because it's really, really important. Okay. It's really important for everyone to understand that if we don't fight like hell this entire year and beyond to restore our nation, we are going to be slaves because we aren't going to survive this. You know, the attacks are being made on us with the border invasion, with the intentional, you know, starting of wars around the globe, with the, you know, destruction of our military, of our families and everything. We're at war. We're fighting for our lives. And so this podcast, as you guys who watch all the time know, is we are here to defend our individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. And the first way you do that is by being informed. Know what's going on. Know what affects your individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity, and then act to defend it. And we don't just talk about it, we act. We will take action. In this podcast, I will say, I need you to do this. And then we list that on our podcast page every week that says these week's action items. You, who watch this podcast, need to take those actions if you want to defend your individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. Now, we begin every podcast with a prayer for the January 6th political prisoners. And we do that because they are a symbol of what's wrong with our nation. They're a symbol of tyranny. These are our fellow citizens. Many of us were at January 6th. It could be us that are in prison. Okay, they've charged over 1,000, you know, people. I think they're going on 2,000. And it's a total abuse of the law. They're not being prosecuted. They're being persecuted. And so until they are free, until, you know, we bring back the rule of law, and that, understand clearly, what is winning? It's not elected Donald Trump. It's not. Because if Donald Trump isn't able to execute the changes that restore the rule of law and equal justice under the law, then we're not a nation at all, and we're not the United States, and we're not winning, okay? That's number one. Number two, we have to restore representative government, because no one in governments is representing you or I. No one is acting for the benefit of the American people, of you and I. No one is acting to defend our individual freedom and liberty. They are acting to enslave us further. I will prove that. I will bring the receipts to you in this podcast. So we pray for the January 6th political prisoners, because they are the ones who are paying the price. They are the ones who are being made an example of. They are the ones who have been away from their families for 3 years, who have not had a trial, who are being just abused in prison, denied medical treatment, denied being put in solitary confinement, being chained up and moved around the country, being denied legal resources. So we pray for them that they can sustain themselves through this ordeal, and that they will have faith that we will eventually bring justice to them, and we will bring justice to the people who've done this to them. And that's an important part of this. The people who have done this need to be held accountable under the law, not out of, we don't want to persecute people, but But they've broken the law. And I'll show you an example how that's starting to play out in the next segment here. So take a minute, say a prayer for the January 6th political prisoners so that they, you know, can sustain themselves through this ordeal, that their parents will stay with them, their families, their children, you'll be okay. And I'll talk a little bit about some big developments there, and that their lawyers will find a way to keep fighting. Okay? Just join me in a prayer now. Thank you. May God watch over them. Please keep praying for them every day. So we have news on this, and some interesting things. Several January 6th, quote-unquote, rioters get early releases ahead of Supreme Court review. So this story broke, I think it was on Wednesday. Several January 6th rioters have won early release from their sentences ahead of a key Supreme Court review of the legality of a specific federal charge against them, a review that could, in turn, see them ordered to return to prison, but may result in many more being released. The decision could affect convictions and sentences passed on more than 350 January 6th defendants if the Supreme Court decides that prosecutors misuse criminal statutes to obtain the convictions. And I would contend that the FBI and the DOJ knowingly did this. They knew this was bogus. They did it anyway. They acted illegally, and that's why I talked about they need to be held accountable. Three men have already been granted early release, according to the Washington Post. They include a Delaware man who carried a Confederate flag into the Capitol and was released 1 year into a three-year term, an Ohio man who broke through police lines to become one of the first rioters to enter the building, released 6 months into a 19-month sentence, and a man who entered the Senate chamber draped in a Trump flag who was freed after serving 5 months of a 14-month sentence. So that was good news. That was something we were glad to hear, because these judges are anticipating that the majority of the prison time that they were giving to the January 6th, rioters were based on this bogus obstruction of an official proceedings charge, which was, again, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but if you're new to the podcast, this was the charge that was put, a law that was put together after the Enron financial, a financial corruption case back in the 70s, where they destroyed financial records to make prosecution harder. So obstruction of an official proceeding was destroying, information, data. Well, they then, took this charge and said, well, if, they had to stop the official process of, counting the ballots and saying that Joe Biden was president, If the rioters stopped that, they obstructed an official proceeding, and therefore they should be charged with this crime, quote unquote, and get us up to 20 years in prison, which they did in the case of the Proud Boys. That was crazy. Most of these other people are charged with very small misdemeanors of trespassing in a public building or whatever, which have much smaller sentences. So this is what we talk about the persecution and the misuse of our laws for what? Political reasons. To tell you and me, do not stand up to their tyranny. Do not fight Joe Biden. Do not argue about the border, about the economy. Don't fight the funding of the Ukraine war money. Don't fight the FISA, which we'll talk about those things in this podcast. Just sit down, shut up, and do what we tell you, because we're in charge and you're not. And if you dare to protest, what we're doing to these people is going to happen to you. And they're serious about that, as evidenced by what's going on. So that was good news, okay, that they, that these prisoners were getting released early. And there's other cases where they have not sentenced people yet because they're afraid that the whole case is going to be changed when the Supreme Court rules, but it won't be till June. Now, There was a very important, many of you guys know, watch this podcast. We have a personal relationship with Jake Lang, the political prisoner. We've had him, we've interviewed him multiple times. You can find all kinds of information on our website if you just search on Jake Lang at wethepeopleconvention.org. But there was a, one of our members sent me a link to this interview that was conducted this week, I believe, with Jake Lang. And I have posted it on our website in the video section. And this interview was eye-opening to me. First of all, when I interviewed Jake, he's calling for prison, and you, we usually have 15 minutes on the phone, and then his voice comes on and says, your time's up, and they cut us off. In this interview, it goes on for like an hour. Now, he says in the interview he's calling back in, but what I learned so much about Jake Lang, I learned so much about his life, his family. I did not know that he's from a very wealthy family, that he hasn't needed any money for his legal defense, that they can afford it, that he was a successful entrepreneur and has some resources of his own, that he was a social media person before January 6th, and because of his knowledge of social media, that's why he's been able to develop these videos and put the things on the website, many of which we've shown you. This interview is very interesting. And the interviewer does a great job because he asks some very hard questions about, you know, where's the money going? And there's people, you know, in the podcast accusing Jake Lang of being a Fed and things. And they get into all of this. And I didn't realize that there's been like $1 million raised to help the families of the January 6th prisoners, that your donations and our donations, the We the People Convention has donated. I know many of you have donated. That Jake says he will get requests every single day from J6 families and prisoners. You know, I need money to pay the mortgage. You know, our car broke down and our husband's still in jail. We need help. He says, you know, that they've been totally open. They've been audited. The Gateway Pundit has posted the audits of their fundraising. But he says, you know, we're going to fight this fight, and we're going to help these families. If you want to understand the whole J6 thing a lot clearer, I ask you, go to wethepeopleconvention.org and watch this very interesting interview, because it was enlightening to me, let me tell you. It was really something that this happened. So I wanted to share that with you. Now, there was another thing that came out this week, and I didn't post this video, and I'll explain why. New former FBI CIA employee says approximately 20 undercover agents were in the J6 crowd, boasts about taking away Alex Jones's money in an investigative sting type thing, like James O'Keefe does, and you know Project Veritas used to do. But there's just, I'm not sure about this. So I want to give you the story, but I didn't post the video, okay? Now, the link will be in our podcast section, and you can go to the link and watch the video, but I just need to be sure that this is legit, okay? An undercover video from Sound Investigations. Now, who are they? I have no idea who these guys are. Reveals former FBI employee and contracting CIA officer Gavin O'Blends claiming that there were at least 20 FBI agents in the January 6th crowd. O'Blenis also revealed that the agency was behind the lawsuit brought by Sandy Hook families against Alex Jones. In the end, he said, the agency got what it wanted. We wanted to take all of his money. Wow, that's interesting. The new report from Sound Investigations is with O'Blevin was recorded on March 15th, 22nd, and 28th of this year. O'Blevin told the undercover journalist that he had been an employee with the FBI and he's a contracting officer right now for the CIA. His LinkedIn profile says he has been with the DHS since December of 2022. So I don't know if this guy's legit, but if he is legit, this shows that the agencies, quote unquote, intelligence agencies were proactive in building cases against conservative voices, not because they broke the law, but to basically be the state, you know, putting forcing their will on us. So Alex Jones announced after this came out that he is investigating a lawsuit against the FBI and the CIA based on this video of this guy who says he has direct knowledge that they intentionally targeted him. So I don't know if this guy is legit or not, but that was kind of a bombshell, and I felt it was important for me to share that with you, at least the story, and then we can go from there. Now, on to other things. I talked to you last week about going to this high school to speak with some seniors about, you know, fentanyl and China and, you know, what is the freedom and liberty and all that kind of stuff. This story is just insanely disturbing to me. And if I get a little emotional, you know, please understand. Because as you know, I have been working with AI. I've been trying to understand how we can use AI for good. We have taken videos on our website, and you're starting to notice in our video section that when we put up a video, a lot of times we have a transcript now because we're using AI to take videos and transcribe them so you can read it if you want, okay? So we've been watching AI, and I'm very concerned about its effect on our future. This story is just... We got to do something. Teen girls confront an epidemic of deep fake nudes in schools. And you go, well, what's that? Why are you so upset, Tom? Okay, why are you so upset? Using artificial intelligence, middle and high school students have fabricated explicit images of female classmates and shared the doctored pictures with people at school. In October, last October, some 10th grade girls at Westfield High School included, Westfield High School is in New Jersey, alerted administrators that boys in their class had used artificial intelligence software to fabricate sexually explicit images of them and were circulating the fake pictures. 5 minutes later, the families of these children, of these girls, said the district has done little to publicly address the doctored images or update school policies to hinder exploitive AI use. It seems as though the Westfield High School administration and the district are engaging in a master class of making this incident vanish into thin air. Mrs. Manny, the founder of a local preschool, admonished board members during their meeting. That case was in October. Since then, if you go into your favorite search engine and search on deep fake nudes, you are going to see hundreds of links of stories of girls, young girls, being subjected to this software that allows anybody, and the software is free, where you can take a picture of anybody and put it in the software, and it will give you a picture of them naked, buck naked. And you can adjust the picture to give them bigger breasts or smaller breasts, or change the color of their hair, or do whatever you want. It looks totally real. Now picture yourself. You're a young, innocent girl. School. I mean, how bad is you got, you remember? You go back, you remember how bad, you know, high school was, middle school was for young girls. First you have, you know, your body's changing, right? You're developing and you're it's confusing. And then you've got these social cliques, and nobody is meaner to people than girls on girls, young girls on young girls. It's always been a problem. You know, the bullying, and you know, you're not in our clique, and rumors about you. But now there's not rumors about you. Your enemies can produce pictures of you that are unbelievably embarrassing and share them with everyone. And the schools are doing nothing. No one's doing anything. How is this legal? How is this legal? And so there's one story about, you know, the boys got suspended or whatever. That's nowhere near enough. We as a society are under attack. Our children, as I said to the kids I spoke to a week ago Monday, you are the most propagandized humans in the history of the world. And what our generation has done to the American children, from abortion to fentanyl to transgenderism to you name it, will be a disgrace throughout history. But this has to stop. This has to stop. The psychological damage you're going to do to these girls, because again, you can make them look bad. You can make them look ugly. And what are you going to do? You're going to take off your clothes to show that it's not true? What are you going to do to defend yourself? We must stop this. These companies that produce this software should go to prison for a long time. We must take action. And I got news for you. I'm done. I've had it. I don't think we can fix it. Here's the law. I swear to God, this has to be the law of the land. We should not allow anyone under age 18 to have any kind of a smartphone. No cameras. Get the cameras the hell out. No social media on your phone. You get a flip phone. You can talk to each other, okay? And you can send maybe text without images, even though I don't think you should even be able to do that, because they use it to bully kids. Flip phone. That's it. Till you're 18. Till you're an adult. Then you make up your own decisions. It should be, you know, I mean, schools should have policies that just say it's real simple. Not only will you be thrown out of school if you do this, we will join in prosecuting you. The school will bring charges against you and your parents. You need to be starting to talk to your school boards, to your school district, but also to your county prosecutor, to your county commissioners, to your mayors, to your city councils. This has to stop. And if you're curious and you want to go look and find this software and do it, go ahead. Maybe you're a little perverted, but I'll tell you what, it'll shock the hell out of you. What the hell kind of society are we? And if we can't stop this, what the hell are we going to do with AI? This is just the beginning. They're talking about, you know, how deep fakes, not deep nudes, okay, are going to affect this election and stuff. That's bad enough. This is destroying young people. Wow. I'm asking you to take action. I'm asking you to talk to your kids about this, to say, report anything like this. Go after the parents whose kids do this and demand that they take action against their children. They take away their privileges, right? Remember, we're the Tea Party. We're for individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. Remember, I talked to the high school kids about the difference between freedom, which is your ability to do what you want, versus liberty, which is society's way of controlling the chaos by giving some limits to your freedom. This is beyond your freedom. You have no right to do this. But we do not want necessarily government to fix this. We want us, the people, to fix this by doing what? What I talked to the high school kids about, that the whole basis of our government is for a religious and moral people, and is totally unsuitable for any other, thanks to the statement by John Adams. Why? Because if we govern ourselves morally, you don't need government to govern you. So if the parents say, you do anything like this, you don't get a phone until you are out of my house and you're an adult on your own. That's what you do. That's what we need to do as grandparents. We must stop this assault on these innocent children. And yes, unfortunately, we're going to have to take government action because we live in an amoral, unreligious society. I don't care. We've got to stop this. It's hideous. It is evil incarnate. All right, I better move on to some other stories. I had the privilege this week of meeting with Marley Hornick. the CEO of United Sovereign Americans, who some of you may know from videos that's been posted for the last couple of years, that she was the one of the founders of the New York State Group that investigated how corrupt the voter rolls are in New York State. And I mean, corrupt doesn't do enough. It doesn't justify it. It's horrific. I mean, they literally have a bloody, their voter rolls are a joke. They're not even real, okay? They're a fiction. And she's been fighting that, and then her fight led to other people getting involved with United Sovereign Americans. And last week, I played a video from them about an investigation they did in Ohio. And Marley came Wednesday to do a presentation in Medina, Ohio. We had a great turnout. There were several hundred people there. Thank you for all of you who came, where she spelled out what is wrong with Ohio's voter rolls. And it was pretty disturbing. In essence, because they have people who are, you know, their birth dates are wrong. They have people who have birth dates that have been changed. That should never happen. There's people who are dead that are under voter rolls. I mean, and it came out to like 1.2 million problems out of 8.2 million registered voters. And so she was pointing out what that's about. But here's the most important takeaway I got from meeting with her and her presentation. You know how the left always uses the civil rights election laws to like change redistricting in Georgia and down south and to stop any kind of, they claim that it's a racial thing, right? That, you want a photo ID and you're trying to suppress the vote. And they're always using these federal laws that tend to be about racism and stuff, okay? And racial discrimination. Well, in those laws, the Congress has put very strict requirements about your voter rolls. And what United Sovereign Americans have figured out is that every state is violating that. They are not maintaining the voter rolls. You're not allowed to have dead people on your rolls. And the Secretary of State is legally and personally, not just legally, but personally responsible for making sure the rolls are correct. So what I did is I tried to put together a meeting with Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose and United Sovereign Americans Group. We almost got it done. We just couldn't get the logistics to work. And so we're going to have to do that soon. But I have personally spoken with Frank LaRose. I personally met with Marley. And we understand we got to have that meeting. Why? Because Frank LaRose, and I know there's people out there listening to this who hate Frank LaRose, hate everybody who's ever been elected to office. But again, you got to understand that there are real reasons for some of this stuff. And Frank LaRose said to me on Friday of last week that when you meet with Marley, tell them that I want what they want. I want clean voter rolls, and I will meet with them. And we will go through every one of their complaints, and we will do whatever's wrong, we will fix. Now, you can say, oh, Frank LaRose doesn't mean that. Shut up. I know Frank LaRose. I've worked with Frank LaRose, okay? And I'm not going to do this because I'm a stooge or a tool. I'm putting this together because I'm going to hold Frank LaRose to his feet to the fire. He made that commitment to me. Marley said they will meet with us, and we're going to fix it. But this is the message I want to send to all of you who are worried about the elections, okay, and cheating. There is cheating, but you got to stop thinking it's everywhere and it's all for nefarious reasons. The fact of the matter is, folks, most of the people working at the Board of Elections are political appointees. They don't have any commitment to making sure the voter rolls are right. They can barely do their job. And there's many people in boards of elections who do nothing but get paid. Okay? That's just the truth. I'm not disparaging you people who are in boards of elections who do good work. And many of our patriots have applied and gotten jobs to make it better. But the fact of the matter is, there's nobody there that has any abilities to do the things from a data standpoint that need to be done. And so there's all kinds of mistakes. But the Secretary of State's and Franklin Rose himself has said, well, that's a problem at the county level. And, you know, it's you know, they're miskeying the data or whatever. I'm sorry. What United Sovereign Americans has proven is that you can't make the excuse. You got to fix it. The Secretary of State, under federal law, personally is responsible, not your county board of elections. And they keep kicking it down there and saying it's a clerical error. Some are. But it's got to be fixed. Now, two things. What I said to Marley, and I've said to Catherine Engelbrecht, and I've said, you know, to the Lindell people, and all this. We have to make sure that when we show that there's voter roll problems, that we say, yes, there's voter roll problems, but we're working to fix it. And before the election comes, we are going to fix a bunch of this. I keep telling you guys, you know, they want you to think that nothing's changed since 2020 and they're going to be able to do the same cheating in 2024 they did in 2020. That is BS. That is not true. We have fixed a ton of things in Georgia, in Arizona, in Wisconsin even, and places like that. We are fighting the fight. But the key is to do what United Sovereign Americans is doing, and that is to be preemptive. And they just filed a federal lawsuit in Maryland on this basis of you must fix the voter rolls before the election or you can't certify the election. They're going to win that suit. And I ask you, you know, to go to uniteforfreedom.com, unite the number 4 freedom.com, and donate to United Sovereign Americans to help fund the lawsuits. It's expensive to go to the Supreme Court. Okay, it's expensive to file these lawsuits, but they're going to force them to fix it because the law is on our side. But we didn't know that. And in 2020, it was after the fact we tried to fix it. You can't fix it after the fact. So, two takeaways. One, we are engaged and we are fixing stuff. Okay? Two, the law is on our side. Three, we got to act preemptively, okay, not after the election, before the election. And so we've got this effort that basically says federal law demands that you clean these up. We don't have to clean them up. You have to clean them up. Or guess what? Your Secretary of State can personally be put in prison. That's the law says. You think that'll get their attention? I know it's going to get Franklin Rose's attention, okay? Number two, what Catherine Engelbrecht and others are doing by basically forcing the boards of elections in every county to follow the rules to certify that their equipment passes the National Security Act that Obama signed and put into practice before the election is going to blow them up because they can't pass the certification. But we need lawyers to be holding them accountable that if they don't, if their equipment doesn't pass, it can't be used for the election. And that's how you get paper ballots. Those two things should give everyone a lot of hope that the 2024 election is going to be very different than the 2020 election. So I want to share that with you, okay? But in the meantime, the way you can tell that what we're doing is working is every week now, there's a hit piece on these groups that are doing this. And this week's turn, it was Wired Magazine. Inside the election denial groups planning to disrupt November. See how they're turning this? See how the left wing is turning this? They're basically saying, we're election denial groups. We're not cleaning up the voter rolls, and we're planning to disrupt the November election. Nothing could be further from the truth. And they personally attack Catherine Engelbrecht in this piece of garbage in ways you just can't even believe. Okay, I'll read you just one paragraph. As the most consequential presidential election in generations looms in the United States, get out the vote efforts across the country are more important than ever. But multiple far-right activist groups with ties to former President Donald Trump and the Republican National Committee are mobilizing their supporters in earnest, drawing on one baseline belief. Elections in the U.S. are rigged, and citizens need to do something about it. All the evidence states otherwise, underline. But in recent weeks, these groups have held training sessions about how to organize on hyper-local level to monitor polling places and drop boxes, challenge voter registrations, and mass. Okay? That tells you we're over the target. And you know what? You're damn right we're doing all those things. But it's not because we're far right. United Sovereign America says flat out, we are a nonpartisan group. They're trying to rig the elections. They certainly aren't trying to make the elections favorable to Republicans, who, quite frankly, folks, if you know the truth, has been rigging the elections as much as Democrats for our whole lifetime. Both parties are complicit. Why do you think all the boards of elections are run by two Democrats and two Republicans when 80% of Americans are now independent? So they can rig the elections, and they have been. That's a historical fact. Okay? And we're going to see what happens when it's harder for them to rig the elections because we, right, whether it's Mike Lindell, the RNC, True the Vote, United Sovereign Americans, countless numbers of other groups that you guys are working with, when we enforce the law, that's not far right. That's dead center, right? We talked about the flag upside down, right? Restore the rule of law and equal justice under the law. That's what we're doing. They're cheating. We're over the target, and we're winning, okay? So there was a story that just came out. Judge upholds Georgia voter citizenship verification. I've been getting emails from you guys saying, oh, they're letting these 14 million illegals into our country so that they can vote. That's not what's going to happen. I told you a couple weeks ago that in New York State, the judge ruled illegals can't vote. Okay, that it's against their state constitution. In Georgia, what did it say? A federal judge has dismissed a legal challenge to Georgia's voter citizenship verification requirements, keeping in place the state's process of cross-checking citizenship status to determine voter eligibility and handing a win to election integrity advocates. Okay, so in Georgia, they're doing that. Illinois just did the same thing. We talked about that. The key is that these illegals are here because, and I talked to you about this last week, if you recall, that the plan initially is they're not going to get them to vote because they can't give them citizenship. And there are places that are saying, well, they go to the BMV and get a driver's license and then they get asked to register. But that's not happening. The boards of elections are checking your citizenship, okay? And Trump and Johnson had a press conference yesterday where Speaker Johnson announced that they were going to put forward legislation that basically requires everyone's citizenship to be checked before they can vote. Now, they're going to pass that out of the House. Is it going to go through the Senate? Or is it going to be one of these things where all the Dems will vote no, so we know they're Marxist communists who hate the rule of law and hate America? Big deal. We already know that. Is it going to be symbolic? Or are they actually going to change the bloody laws? Okay, but my point is, we're winning. They're not going to be able to vote illegally. And as I said to you, I think it was last week, that the whole game for this illegal invasion is to change the Electoral College because they rigged the census when Trump was president to count everyone living in California, New York, whatever, legal or illegal, and wouldn't even allow the question on the census of, are you a citizen? Well, what did that do? That determines how many members of Congress you have. Well, what does that do? That determines your electoral vote. Okay? How many votes you get in the Electoral College? So, okay, that's what they're doing with the illegal immigrants right now. Then, once they have the Electoral College, that means they can win every presidential election. And that means they can make them all citizens, and then our country's over, right? Then we're a tyranny. That's the plan. Don't worry about the illegals voting in this election. We're going to stop that. And another way we're going to stop that is, if you remember, the Marxist Attorney General Merrick Garland held that obscene press event speech in the Tabernacle Baptist Church a few weeks ago, where he basically claimed, you know, that everything we're doing to clean up the voter rolls, ask for voter ID, and all that is racism, and they're going to fight it, and the DOJ is going to spend all this money to fight it. Well, 16 attorney generals, Republican attorney generals, are challenging Garland's comments on voting laws. GOP prosecutors say the U.S. Constitution is clear in its direction to leave state elections up to the elected representatives of those states. And Indiana Attorney General Todd Rokita, in a letter supported by 15 other GOP prosecutors, attorney generals, including Ken Paxton of Texas and others, said Garland's comments are concerning. In your speech, you claim that democracy is under attack by discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary restrictions on access to the ballot, like a photo ID, right? Like being a citizen. He said, in response to these allegations, you announced that you doubled the number of lawyers in the Civil Rights Division and launched the Justice Department's Election Threat Task Force, signaling your intent to intrude on our state's authority. Mr. Rokita called this a weaponization of DOJ, fueled by Mr. Garland's personal views, which he called a serious threat to the principles of federalism and separation of powers, but also to democracy and the rule of law. In the letter, Rokita said the Constitution is clear in its direction to leave state elections up to its elected representatives. Any subversion of these clear mandates would be undermining our Constitution and law and order, he wrote, and we think your remarks undermine these principles in a few ways. He then went on to explain that in our states, we're not going to allow that. We will fight you. You will not be able to use the federal government to attack our right to run our elections the way we see fit. And that means fairly. That's how we see fit. So that was another good piece that came out, because, again, we have to take action. We have to take action. Now, this was kind of a bombshell, and I think it was misunderstood. Arizona Supreme Court reinstates Civil War era abortion ban. And people think that, like, this court, you know, just completely overreached and did something ridiculous. But the bottom line is that what happened was, before they were a state, there was a territorial law, okay, that basically said the only reason a legal abortion can be had in Arizona is if the life of the mother is in danger, okay? And that was in 1864. But then they passed a law in 1982 or 2002 that was a 15-week limit on abortion. But that law in Arizona was based on Roe v. Wade. It was based on the federal statute, and many states did this. But that law never rescinded the 1864 law. So when Roe v. Wade was gone, the law they passed in 2022 was null and void. And that's what the justices ruled. And people are going nuts and saying, oh, you know, these Supreme Court justices, you know, are trying to impose, you know, to completely make abortion illegal, and the left is screaming bloody murder. It's not. And so Trump and Carrie Lake have gone to the legislature in Arizona and said, get to work, pass legislation, and fix this. Make the 2022 law correct by rescinding the 1864 law. And that's what's going to happen. But in the meantime, this is going to cause Trump and Lake to lose Arizona and all that. Well, Trump did a very smart thing this week. He made his statement about his position on life. And so I'm going to play this for you. It's not very long, and it's on our website so you can share it, okay? And you should watch it and share it. So I'm going to play it for you right now. Oh, there we go.
Under my leadership, the Republican Party will always support the creation of strong, thriving, and healthy American families. We want to make it easier for mothers and families to have babies, not harder. That includes supporting the availability of fertility treatments like IVF in every state in America. Like the overwhelming majority of Americans, including the vast majority of Republicans, conservatives, Christians, and pro-life Americans, I strongly support the availability of IVF for couples who are trying to have a precious baby. What could be more beautiful or better than that? Today, I'm pleased that the Alabama legislature has acted very quickly and passed legislation that preserves the availability of IVF in Alabama. They really did a great and fast job. The Republican Party should always be on the side of the miracle of life and the side of mothers, father, their beautiful babies, and that's what we are. IVF is an important part of that, and our great Republican Party will always be with you in your quest for the ultimate joy in life. Many people have asked me what my position is on abortion and abortion rights, especially since I was proudly the person responsible for the ending of something that all legal scholars, both sides, wanted and, in fact, demanded be ended. Roe v. Wade. They wanted it ended. It must be remembered that the Democrats are the radical ones on this position because they support abortion up to and even beyond the ninth month. The concept of having an abortion in the later months and even execution after birth, and that's exactly what it is, the baby is born, the baby is executed after birth, is unacceptable, and almost everyone agrees with that. My view is now that we have abortion where everybody wanted it from a legal standpoint, the states will determine by vote or legislation or perhaps both, and whatever they decide must be the law of the land, in this case, the law of the state. Many states will be different. Many will have a different number of weeks, or some will have more conservative than others, and that's what they will be. At the end of the day, this is all about the will of the people. You must follow your heart or, in many cases, your religion or your faith. Do what's right for your family and do what's right for yourself. Do what's right for your children. Do what's right for our country and vote. So important to vote. At the end of the day, it's all about will of the people. That's where we are right now, and that's what we want, the will of the people. I want to thank the six justices, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Samuel Alito, Brett Kavanaugh, Amy Coney Barrett, and Neil Gorsuch, incredible people, for having the courage to allow this long-term, hard-fought battle to finally end. This 50-year battle over Roe v. Wade took it out of the federal hands and brought it into the hearts, minds, and vote of the people in each state. It was really something. Now it's up to the states to do the right thing. Like Ronald Reagan, I am strongly in favor of exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. You must follow your heart on this issue, but remember, you must also win elections to restore our culture and, in fact, to save our country, which is currently, and very sadly, a nation in decline. Our nation needs help. It needs unity. It needs us all to work closely together. Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative, everyone, we have to work together. We have to bring our nation back from the brink, and that's where it is. It's at the brink, and we will. We will do it. I promise you, we will do it. Always go by your heart, but we must win. We have to win. We are a failing nation, but we can be a failing nation no longer. We will make our nation great. We will make our nation greater than ever before. Thank you very much.
Okay, so I thought that was a good statement. Most people felt it was appropriate and balanced. It is not a federal issue anymore, folks. We don't want federal law. It's a states' rights issue, and we need to deal with that. What most people understand is that the exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother is pretty much what people want. And something like a heartbeat bill or 15 weeks. When the baby is viable, then they then have rights. You can't just kill them. And so, you know, I know there's many members in the life community who don't agree with that, who believe that, you know, life is sacred from conception, okay, and until death. And I understand your position, but that is not the mainstream position in America. And so Trump is speaking to represent all Americans, and so is Carrie Lake in Arizona, and they're going to get this fixed, okay? Now, that video, I thought it was really good, but it drives me insane because that came out, and I wanted to put it on our website. Folks, I couldn't find it. I spent half an hour trying to find it. It's not, it was on Truth Social. Try finding it. I'm on Truth Social. You can follow me on Truth Social, but I couldn't find it. I went to Trump's website It should have been on the front page of Trump's website. It's not. It just drives me nuts that they're so incompetent at communicating with us, with the base that wants to share this. You need to play that video, and you can, okay, through the We the People Convention website. You can even download it to your own hard drive and share it with people. But man, quit making it so hard. Now, there's a second video that I put up on our website at wethepeopleconvention.org that you need to watch, because I think under all the insanity that's come at us every day, you can easily forget why you support Trump, why you trust him. And so this is a video that is on our website, and it's being done by this guy named Tom Klingenstein. Now, this is Trump Virtues Part 2, and I'm not going to play it for you here because it's 8 minutes long. Go to wethepeopleconvention.org and watch this. He also had a Part 1 like 6 months ago, which I put a link to on that page. But just listen to him. Just a guy, I guess he's a wealthy guy, whatever, but he speaks very slowly, and he just says, you may hate Trump for this reason or that, but let me explain to you why you got to vote for him. Powerful video. Please go watch it. Please go watch it. Okay, before we wrap up the first half of the show, let me just touch on a couple stories that are important. Of course, the FISA bill was renewed, right? Of course, because I told you the fix was in, and the fix was in. And so initially, the conservatives stopped it from passing in the House. Because what do we want? We want the 14th Amendment. The 14th Amendment says you cannot, the government, the police cannot search and seize our property or look at us or spy on us without a warrant. It's in the Constitution. I don't understand how they can pass this FISA law and basically take away that constitutional right. I don't understand. I don't understand. But they did. So what happened was it came down to a vote on Friday, and the vote was about, do we include warrants? Do we reauthorize the FISA, but it includes the Ray and the Merrick Garland, those guys have to get warrants to spy on Americans. And it came down to Speaker Johnson's vote. Normally, he doesn't have to vote, but he had to vote because it was a tie, and he voted against warrants. He voted with the deep state. So then later they had a revote. It was a tie, 212 to 212. And then they had another vote for the bill without warrants, and it passed. But we did get some things. It was supposed to be a 5-year renewal. It's only a 2-year renewal. See, 5-year would have put it beyond Trump's next term. 2-year means we could repeal it. Okay? The whole Patriot Act needs to be looked at. So there were some things we got. But Mike Pompeo was on with Glenn Beck the day of the vote. And Glenn was saying, you know, Mike, you know, we need to rein in these people. We need to make them get warrants. We need to do this stuff. And Pompeo said probably the most important thing. He said, Glenn, I agree. But these are lawless people. They broke the law to spy on Trump. The law didn't allow them to do that. And they will do it. And all the time until we remove them physically from office. And so I didn't get too worked up about this because, quite frankly, he's right. This is a lawless government. Lawless. They don't give a damn about the law. As we just proved with the January 6th people, and we're going to prove with Trump's, you know, the stupid, you know, trials for Trump and all that. Okay? But that's the bottom line. And the problem is that our good friend from Sundance, from Conservative Treehouse, basically spelled it out. The deep state lies to Congress. And they're saying, we're under attack from here and there and everywhere. And if you don't pass this, if we don't have these warrantless searches on Americans, we're going to have terrorist attacks. And they believe them. But you know what they did? This is where it gets really, this is where you should be angry. Congress exempted themselves. They said they passed this bill, and in the bill, It allows the DOJ and the FBI to spy on you and I illegally without a warrant because there's some bogus connection from a foreign country. Some foreign person called your house or did something, right? But they exempted themselves. That's sick. They exempted themselves. When you see your congressman, ask them why they put themselves ahead of you, ahead of the American people. Yeah, that's what they did, folks. Can't make this stuff up. And then I'll just give you one more point and then we'll break, because it was disturbing, to say the least, to have Christopher Wray go out there before the FISA bill is going to be voted on and start trying to scare the hell out of the American people. Foreign terrorists targeting U.S. increasingly concerning, says FBI director. No kidding. You think so? Increasingly disturbing? Foreign adversaries and terrorist groups are sharpening their aim at the United States, targeting cyber operations, security, and mafia-like tactics, and are increasing concern, FBI Director Chris Wray said in a speech on Tuesday. At the American Bar Association luncheon in Washington, Wray said the agency is working to prevent a coordinated attack from terrorist groups such as ISIS-K and affiliates of ISIS. To put it simply, we are under attack by all kinds of groups, including bad actors from Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. He said, the Chinese government, to put it simply, is throwing the whole government at undermining the security and economy of the rule of law world. The Chinese cyber program is larger than any other government's programs, Wray said, adding that it outnumbers the United States 51. The country's Chinese cyber threat and mafia-like tactics make it particularly worrisome, he added. It does make you worried, Mr. Wray? It makes you worried? Yeah. So why the hell did you let 140,000 military-aged Chinese men cross our border? If you're so damn concerned, why did you not stop it? Why? But we got to pass FISA, so now that you've let them in the country, you can supposedly spy on them. Bullcrap. You're complicit. You're a liar, and you're a traitor. And you need to be brought to justice for what you're doing to our country. Because if there's an ISIS attack, if there's any kind of attack on our country, it's on your hands, Mr. Wray. It's on your hands, CIA, NSA, U.S. military, the people, the DOJ, we pay billions of dollars to make sure that doesn't happen. And you don't need warrantless searches of Americans to stop it, do you? You need to close the damn border. You need to do your damn job. Nobody said that to him when he testified. Your congressman should have. With that, we'll take our break. You've been listening to the We the People Convention News and Opinion Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the first half of the show. We'll stick around for the second half. Thank you. My name is Tom Zawistowski, and I appreciate you joining us. When you're playing a video, including our podcast, you'll see this little cloud button. And if you click it, it'll actually download the video to your hard disk. And this works on our podcast page as well. If you're playing our podcast, and it's going to be loud, so I won't play it for much, but there's our podcast playing, and you can see this little, download button, okay? The other thing you got to notice on our podcast page is that there's a link here where you can send me a message about this podcast. Hey, it was great. Hey, I didn't like it. What, something was wrong, or here's a correction, that kind of thing. You can use that link. And then these are the stories that I covered in this particular podcast. And you'll see there's links that go to the stories, to the articles that I used in reporting on that. So you can click on that. You'll also see that you can sign up for our emails and text messages, but you can also watch our podcast on Roku TV and on Amazon Fire TV. And these are the instructions for doing that. So this is all on our podcast page, right? Right on the front page where the yellow button was. So if you click there, this is our podcast page. These are the instructions for watching on Roku TV or Amazon Fire. And I watch our podcast on TV. It just feels more comfortable. So you can do that. We're also on Rumble. If you go to Rumble, you should join Rumble.
And you know, it's Tom Z at WTPC. You'll see our podcast there. So you can get us a lot of different ways, including on Apple iTunes. And then this is an audio version of our podcast. If you click here, it'll just play the audio of the podcast. It will not, show you the video. So people can, you know, listen to that while they're jogging or, you know, working out, working in the yard, or just relaxing and just want to listen to the audio and not watch the video. And again, this is available on phone, on your iPad, on your laptop, on your computer, any way you want. And you can share, you know, this, you know, whatever you see. If you're on a page that you really like, and you know, you see an article that you think, geez, I've got to share this article, you know, with someone in my family, you can send them an email by clicking on the little envelope. You can post it on Parler or MeWe. If you click on this, you get all kinds of options, you know, where you can put it on Twitter or Facebook, whatever, which we don't support, but you can do whatever you want. So we ask that you share what you see on our We the People Convention site, and that you get more people to look at it, because that's the whole idea here, to help educate people, inform them. And then, as I said before, Link, we're not just about talk, we're about action. And in my podcast every week, which is published every Saturday, so if you know, the new podcast usually comes out every Saturday, and in that podcast, I will ask you to do certain things that will help protect and defend your individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity. So that's the We the People Convention website. Come back often, use it to be formed, be informed, and share it with others. Thanks a lot.
The We the People Convention News and Opinion Radio Program is paid for by donors like you. You can donate to the We the People Convention and support our cause by going to wethepeopleconvention.org or by sending your check in any amount to We the People Convention, P.O. Box 6211, Akron, Ohio, 44312. All right, and we're back for the second half of this week's podcast. I hope you enjoyed the first half of it. Sorry, I got a little emotional about the attacks on our children with the ability to do deep nudes of virtually anybody, including teenage girls. That is going to just cause unbelievable damage. And I hope you will take action to talk to your school board, to talk to your county prosecutor, to talk to your city council, and to talk to your congressman. This has to be stopped. And I'm sorry, but it just really upset me. And it should upset all of you. Also want to thank those of you who donate, but I want everyone to understand, I know everyone can't donate. So there's three things that I ask of you who are part of our family. You're part of the We the People Convention, okay? Number one, I need you to watch the podcast and be informed so you know where your individual freedom, liberty, and prosperity are being attacked. Having people be able to destroy your children is attack on your freedom and liberty and prosperity, right? Passing FISA is an attack on your freedom and liberty. You need to know about that, and we need to take action to fight against that, okay? So that's important. You got to watch the show. You got to tell other people about it, because the more people who see this information, because the goal is to make sure you don't know. They don't want you to know about this. You heard stories in that first half. You're going to hear a bunch of stories in the second half of the show. You won't hear anywhere else, okay? Because they don't want you to know. You can't fight the enemy if you don't see what they're doing. That's why you watch this, but that's why you must share it. And then number three, if you can't donate, it's critical, because we can't do this for nothing. And we do an awful lot with the money we get. So we appreciate, if you can, that you put us on your list at wethepeopleconvention.org as an organization that you think does good, uses your money well, and makes a difference. Because I think we live up to all that. Okay, so on with the news, and you know, going to get into international affairs and all that. So in Israel, things are getting really dicey. And Iran warned the U.S. that if it helps Israel defend itself from Iran's retaliation, then the U.S. is next. Well, I had a laugh at that. Like, oh yeah, you're going to, you call us the great Satan and you attack us all the time. But if we help Israel when you attack them, you know, look out, we're coming after you. Yeah. Well, here's that's just another sign of Joe Biden's weakness. Because they wouldn't say that to Trump. And Trump would have said, oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? You think you're coming after us? You attack Israel, you're going to regret it. Okay? So what is this all from? Everyone is predicting, and even by the time you hear this podcast, that Iran is going to retaliate against Israel. Why? Because the crisis was precipitated by an Israeli airstrike on the Iranian embassy in Damascus that killed three senior Islamic Revolutionary Guard commanders and four senior IRGC advisors to the Syrian regime. So Israel did an attack on the embassy in Syria and killed some of the key people who helped support Hamas and Hezbollah and the attacks on Israel. Okay? And Iran is now saying, you went too far. Now we're going to get in the war. If they get in the war, folks, look out. Now you're talking World War III. Now you're talking U.S. troops on the ground. So this is very scary. Very scary. But let me make something clear. I heard a guy on the radio this week who was trying to equivocate and say, well, the Israeli response to, on Hamas is disproportionate. Like he literally said this on the radio, that Hamas may have killed, raped, tortured, put children in ovens, cut babies' heads off with shovels. They may have attacked the Israelis and killed 1,560 Israelis. And they may still have 130 hostages, which now looks like it's a lot less, including Americans. But it's wrong for Israel to have done what they've done to Gaza, where they've killed 33,000 people. Let me ask you a question, folks. Was the U.S. use the atomic bomb on Nagasaki and Hiroshima? Was that the right thing to do? Because it saved a million American soldiers' lives? Was it proportionate to the number of Americans who were killed during World War II? No, it wasn't. Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran started this. There's only one way to end it, and that is with their annihilation. That's it. They are totally justified, because I got news for you. If they do what the Biden administration and their lefty, infiltrated, you know, anti-American Marxists and communists in the government want us to do, which Israel should do, a ceasefire. No, they shouldn't. U.S. ceasefire, give back the hostages. You know what? Israel's proposed ceasefire that includes giving back the hostages. Yeah, Hamas won't do that. You know why? Because half the hostages are already dead. They're still killing Israelis. This two-state solution is a fiction. It's a canard. There's no two-state solution. Iran and Iraq and Hezbollah and Hamas, they don't want to live in peace with the Jews. They want to kill every Jew. Well, if they want to kill every Jew, then every Jew has to kill them. That's the way it's done, folks. So if Iran attacks Israel, we damn well better attack Iran. We damn well better. So then, you know, in this whole category, and I told you about Christopher Wray saying, no, the Chinese are doing this, the Chinese are doing that. Yeah, so I posted this story because this is an important story. China rigged the last two Canadian elections to make sure Trudeau and the leftists won. Canadian Commission finds evidence China rigged the last two Canadian elections to elect Trudeau. But notice, no one in the U.S. cares to study China's role against Trump and 16 and 2020 elections. Right? No one cares. Comer's looking at China's infiltration of the U.S. government, which here, because I've said to you for years, I go to our website, do it a search box and click on that story and see the links where I list all the Democrats, all the Republicans, all the elected officials who are in the pocket of the Chinese and are betraying us. Okay? But no one's investigated China's involvement with Biden winning the election, even though True the Vote gave the FBI the records from Connex out of Detroit, Michigan, that ran the elections for 20-some counties in the United States, including Pittsburgh, okay, where the servers were in China. The data, the voter data, your voter data was in China. And did the FBI investigate that? No, they did not. They investigated Katherine Engelbrecht and Phillips, and were investigating them. Yeah, so you got to go read this story because they give evidence that, you know, China literally interfered in Canada's elections, much to the embarrassment of Mr. Trudeau. But there ain't nobody investigating it here in the United States. And there's a reason for that. The Chinese own us, and we're at war. But they don't want us to think we're at war because we might fight back. We're going to fight back. You better believe it. That's coming soon, baby. That's coming soon. Understand what's really going on. This is no surprise, but another example of what's wrong. Blue City plans to defund its police force to pay for illegal immigrants. Okay? This is about Denver. Denver, the blue state of Colorado, which used to be red, now it's blue. The Democratic city-run city of Denver, Colorado, plans to defund its police department to pay for illegal immigrants. Denver, which is commonly referred to as a sanctuary city, announced on Wednesday that it will spend $89.9 million on services for incoming illegal migrants, pulling some of the funding from roughly $45 million in public programs and services. Denver's police department will be hit with an $8.4 million reduction, and the fire department will have a $2.5 million reduction. Denver became the top destination per capita for incoming migrants in 2023, having more than 40,000 arrive that year alone, putting the total migrant population at roughly 710,000, according to NBC News. Denver already spent over $42 million in 2023 in housing and medical services for migrants and plans to spend over $100 million this year, right? Because why? Why do we owe that? Why do we need to do that? No reason except you're trying to destroy the country. No reason, because they took Colorado from red to blue to now to Marxist communist red. The goal is to destroy Colorado. And that's why they're doing this. And the people of Colorado need to fight back with all their might. So again, this is just, you know, they pretend they're doing this out of, they care for the immigrants and all that stuff. No, they don't. No, they don't. And here's the evidence. The real border damage is much more than just the invasion. I had this story for a couple of weeks, for a while, since April 1st. And I didn't know what to do with it, but I decided to put it up because it talks about the firemen and the medical people along the border and what this invasion is doing to them. They pluck dead bodies, including babies, out of the river almost daily on the U.S.-Mexico border, and it's taking its toll. Mass illegal immigration is pushing rescue crews in the small town of Eagle Pass, Texas, close to their breaking point. The mighty Rio Grande has become a river of misery for Eagle Pass Fire Chief Manuel Mello III and his 52 first responders. His medics sometimes confide, "Chief, I'm sick and tired of going out to the river and pulling bodies out." As he described it to the Epoch Times, they are grappling with a record number of drowned men, women, and children who perish while crossing the river from Mexico into the United States. And that doesn't even talk about the rapes and the sex trafficking, and the fentanyl, and the murders, and all the other things. You see any coverage of that in the news? See any coverage of that anywhere? Right? When Trump was president, oh, they're putting children in cages. Yeah, the Dems are killing children. They're drowning them in rivers, and they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn, okay? Understand that. They are godless people who don't care about life. And will take your life for their power. And that's exactly what they're doing. And that's exactly why we've got to stop them. Okay? And another example of they really don't care. Okay? This came out. This is important here in Ohio. Norfolk Southern agrees to $600 million settlement in fiery Ohio derailment. Locals fear it's not enough. You think it's not enough? Think about this. $600 million settlement. Norfolk Southern has agreed to pay $600 million in a class action lawsuit settlement for the train derailment in Ohio, But residents worry the money won't will not only won't go far enough to cover future health needs, that it could be tremendous, but also won't amount to much once divvied up. It's not anywhere near my needs, let alone what the health effects are going to be 5 or 10 years down the road, said Eric Koza, who lived just 3 blocks from the derailment and had 47 family members living within a mile. More than a year later, residents still complain about respiratory problems and unexplained rashes and nosebleeds. But the greater fear is that the people will develop cancer or other serious conditions because of the chemicals they were exposed to during the crash. Researchers have only begun to work on determining the lasting repercussions of the derailment. Norfolk Southern said the agreement, if approved by the court, will resolve all the class action claims within a 20-mile radius of the derailment, and for residents who chose to participate, personal injury claims within a 10-mile radius of the derailment. Let me put this in perspective for you. $600 million. First of all, the attorneys are probably going to get half. But let's say the attorneys got nothing. There were 2,000 people who literally evacuated East Palestine, Ohio, during the derailment. Just 2,000. Now, there's more than 20,000 people in this thing. If you take $600 million and divide it by 22,000 people, that comes out to $300,000 per case. Okay? And like I said, the attorneys are going to take half of that. But more importantly, there's going to be 10 times that. So you might get $30,000. Really? And remember when I said they don't care a damn? Remember the story last week about how the Biden administration failed to declare an emergency with East Palestine that would have given the residents health care benefits and things for decades? They just didn't do it because they just don't give a damn. They just don't give a damn. And everyone involved in this should fight the court and demand that that's nowhere near good enough, because it's nowhere near good enough. It's just that simple. Where are our representatives representing the people of East Palestine, Ohio? Well, I'll tell you where they are. They're hunting you down, okay? The IRS, they are targeting the middle class. Yeah, those 80,000 IRS agents that we were told we're going to go after the rich. Yeah, as of last summer, 63% of new audits targeted taxpayers with incomes of less than $200,000. Remember that? Which they, you know, the Biden administration said we need 80,000 new agents to target the rich to get more money in to the federal government so they can spend it on destroying America. And we stood up and fought it, and we took it out of the one bill. And then what happened? We put it back in. And so now they're hiring these 80,000 agents, okay? Never trust a man who lays his hand on his heart when he assures you of anything, goes the old axiom. That's why I never trust a Democrat who makes any promise ever about a federal agency or program. Take Medicare. In 1966, when Medicare began, it cost $3 billion. The House Ways and Means Committee estimated that Medicare would cost about $12 billion by 1990. Instead, it cost $107 billion. And today, the cost to the government, to us, to the taxpayers, are close to $1 trillion for Medicare. So when Joe Biden and the Democrats assured Americans and Republicans in Congress that $80 billion the president wanted to augment the IRS tax collecting ability was only going to target the rich, everyone with two brain cells working knew it was a lie. It will surprise no one that an audit by the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration found that President Biden's plan to hire a new army of tax collectors is falling flat and that agents already at work are targeting the middle class. As of last summer, 63% of new audits targeted taxpayers with income of less than $200,000, reports the Wall Street Journal. Only a small overall share reached the very highest earners, with 80% of all audits covering filers earning less than $1 million. Okay? Here's a general reminder of the assurances given to us by the Biden administration and the Democrats in Congress. Remember this when you're going to vote. Remember this when you say you're a Democrat, when you're going to vote for Joe Biden instead of Donald Trump because you don't like Trump's policies. No, his personality. You know, you like his policies, but you don't like his personality. So you're going to vote for Joe Biden. Yeah. These resources are absolutely not about increasing audit scrutiny on small businesses or middle Americans. As that we've been planning, our investment of these enforcement resources is designed around the Department of Treasury's directive that audit rates will not rise relative to recent years for households making under $400,000, wrote IRS Commissioner Charles Redding in August of 2022 letter to concerned senators. Janet Yellen, okay, who's another brain-dead appointee, was even more adamant. Contrary to the misinformation of opponents of this legislation, small businesses or households earning $400,000 per year or less will not see an increase in the chances they are to be audited, she wrote in a letter to the IRS. Yeah, except they are. And they're 63% are people making under $200,000. Yeah, they are. Okay, this is really bizarre, really disturbing, and something you need to take action on. This is secret climate experiment in Alameda, California. I saw this and I thought, what is this? What is this? Well, get this, folks. A weird experiment in climate modification is underway in San Francisco Bay. On Tuesday morning, a group of scientists launched a stream of microscopic salt particles into the sky off the deck of a decommissioned aircraft carrier docked in Alameda, California, on the eastern shore of San Francisco Bay. The test marked the country's first outdoor experiment to limit global warming by increasing cloud cover to reflect more sunlight away from Earth. The fact that very few people knew about it beforehand reflects how touchy geoengineering projects still are, despite the growing interest in them as the potential way to slow global warming, reports Corbin Heyer from Politico. The Coastal Atmospheric Aerosol Research and Engagement, or CARE, isn't that cute, project, led by researchers at the University of Washington, kept a tight lid on the project details. That was out of concern that critics would try to stop them. Oh, why would critics want to stop you doing an experiment on the sun? Oh, really? Reported the New York Times, which along with the San Francisco Chronicle was granted exclusive access to cover the initial firing of the spray cannings putting this salt into the air. The project team did not respond to requests from Politico. The mayor of Alameda's office directed questions to the USS Hornet as if they had something to do with it. Silver Lining, a geoengineering research advocacy group involved in the project, said in a press release that the project was being undertaken with a deep commitment to open science and the culture of humility. Open science. You're not even going to put the idea of this experiment out to the scientific community for them to scrutinize before doing it. But you're going to be committed to open science and a culture of humility. How arrogant of you assholes, okay? The world needs to rapidly advance its understanding of the effects of aerosol particles on the climate, said Kelly Wanser, the executive director of Silver Lining. The experiment will run through the end of May when conditions permit atop the USS Hornet Sea Air and Space Museum in Alameda. And now that it is out in the open, visitors to US Hornet will be able to view the experiment. Oh, how nice. How nice. It is unclear if more transparency will quell concerns about the unintended consequences of technology that could alter weather patterns. Last month, a Harvard University experiment that planned to inject reflective aerosols into the stratosphere near Sweden was canceled after encountering opposition from indigenous groups. Because they're the only ones who matter, right? They own the Earth and we're just alien visitors, right? Right? Is that the case? Wow. A company called Make Sunsets caused a stir last year when it launched balloons with sulfate particles into the atmosphere from Mexico and prompted Mexico to ban solar engineering. This is why, remember I did the story a couple weeks ago and we're like, what's this about? The Tennessee voted to ban injecting anything in the atmosphere above Tennessee? And we thought, wow, why do they need this? This is why we need this. You need to contact your senators and congressmen in your state, your governor, and say, we got to ban this crap because these lunatics are loose and they're trying to change the sunlight. Really? Wow. As Robin Bavender reported last week for Politico, scientists and academics are calling on the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration to beef up its regulations as an interest in these projects grow. You think they ought to say, guess what? It's illegal. And you go to prison if you do this. Observers are keeping a close eye on the University of Washington's project's next steps, which includes a second phase that will take place on an undisclosed pier about a mile off the coast. Still, this experiment was kept under wraps until the test started. We are eager to see how public engagement is being planned and will be involved, said Suchi Talati, the executive director of Alliance for Just Deliberation on Solar Geoengineering, a nonprofit that seeks to include developing countries in decisions about solar modification. Solar modification. These people, these lunatics, think they're God. They think they're God. And even the solar eclipse, which I guarantee you, if you saw it, made you think long and hard about God, about intelligent design, about how the hell can that happen? These people are lunatics. Our FBI, DOJ should be prosecuting them. Okay? You don't just get to inject whatever crap you want. The environmentalists want to stop the factory in your town from injecting into the air sulfur or whatever because of the manufacturing process. That's okay. The EPA will shut you down, will tell you got to do things. But these lunatics, oh no, they're going to work on solar modification with open science and a culture of humility. Take action, patriots. Take action. These people are going to kill us. And they know they're doing it because this article came out and everybody was going crazy, but you and I are like, you got to be kidding me. This guy from who worked at NPR for 25 years says, I've been at NPR for 25 years and how we lost America's trust. Uri Berliner, a veteran of public radio institution, says the network lost its way when it started telling listeners how to think. You think those lunatics who were trying to stop the sun because they believe their own Marxist, anti-capitalist, bullcrap, climate danger, insanity, you think they don't want to tell you how to think? Oh, you can't figure it out for yourself. Believe me, we're all going to die in 12 years because of pollution when there's no evidence to support that whatsoever. So this guy comes out and you know, everybody goes crazy because here's somebody in NPR saying we lost our way. Back in 2011, although NPR's audience is tilted a bit to the left, it still bore a resemblance to America at large. 26% of listeners describe themselves as conservative, 23% as middle of the road, and 37% as liberal. By 2023, the picture was completely different. Only 11% describe themselves as very or somewhat conservative, 21% as middle of the road, and 67% of listeners said they were very or somewhat liberal. We just weren't losing conservatives. We were also losing moderates and traditional liberals. It is one thing to swing and miss on a major story, said this guy. Unfortunately, it happens. You follow the wrong leads. You get misled by sources you trusted. You're emotionally invested in a narrative, and you blow it. It's bad to blow a big story. What's worse is to pretend it never happened, to move on with no mea culpas, no self-reflection, especially when you expect high standards of transparency from public figures and institutions, but don't practice those standards yourself. That's what shattered trust and engendered criticism about the media and NPR. And he cites, they had Adam Schiff as their guy on Russiagate, and they bought everything was selling. And then when the Mueller report came out, they didn't say we were wrong. They didn't even cover the Mueller report who said they were wrong. They just stopped reporting it. And then they didn't cover the Biden laptop. And then they didn't cover COVID. And then they didn't cover the January 6th riot as a news story. They covered as basically ideologues with an agenda. And guess what? They're done. They ain't never getting the audience back. And when Trump becomes president, we're going to defund them and they're going to disappear. Because you can't survive. He even says in this article, it destroys their business model. You can't be CNN because CNN's going away too. And so is MSLSD, MSNBC, right? They're all going bye-bye. Because you know what? They can't be trusted. And so you can't say, I'm a news organization when you're not. Okay? They're done. Say bye-bye. Thank Donald Trump for making it all clear. Okay, a couple more things before we get to the end of the show. So Trump, the newest thing is all the other trials are falling apart. And he's going to go on Monday. He's going to be in court in New York for this Stormy Daniels, you know, cover-up case, which is more bogus and more insane than all the other cases, which are totally bogus and insane. Okay? This DA, Alvin Bragg, is basically combining state law with federal election laws and some other stuff to create something that doesn't exist, okay? But the key to it is that Donald Trump paid hush money to keep Stormy Daniels quiet about an affair, okay? So let me share with you, okay, this, which Trump did post on Truth Social, and it, you know, I will link to this. He said, look what was just found. Will the fake news report it? What was just found is a letter from Stormy Daniels. She said, to whom it may concern, this is January 30th of 2018. Over the past few weeks, I have been asked countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, and now again in 2018. I am not denying this affair because I was paid hush money, as has been reported in overseas-owned tabloids. I am denying this affair because it never happened. I will have no further comment on this matter. Please feel to check me out on Instagram. Thank you. Signed, Stormy Daniels. How can you bring Trump to trial when she admitted that it never happened and therefore there was no reason to pay hush money? So the Gateway Pundit explains this. The Gateway Pundit reported about Stormy Daniels' story last month, with a new twist from a whistleblower who claimed that according to the dirty lawyer, Michael Avenatti, who is now serving time, right, who represented Stormy Daniels in this alleged attack on Trump, which was total bogus to destroy his presidency, right, in 2018, who defended Stormy Daniels in her so-called hush money case against Trump, the affair with Stormy Daniels was not with Trump, but instead with Trump attorney Michael Cohen, who was lying to extort money from Donald J. Trump before the 2016 election with a fake scheme he cooked up about an affair with the then top GOP presidential candidate had with a porn star. So now this was, so Stormy Daniels writes a letter saying it never happened. Donald Trump says it never happened. Michael Cohen lies when these cases were being tried and was convicted of, and he committed perjury. He is going to be the star witness to say Trump paid hush money to Stormy Daniels when all Trump was doing was paying his legal retainer for other legal advice. And they're going to try to convict him on this. You know what? This is a story you need to talk about, because guess what? 68% of Americans believe that Donald Trump had an affair with a porn star. He didn't. Here's the letter. He didn't. Send that to everyone you know. Okay? That's part of fighting the fight. And Trump knows how to fight the fight. Here's more proof. Large drop of UAW membership in Michigan is bad for Biden and Democrats, but great for Trump. Okay? So why was Trump part of this? Last year, in the middle of the historic UAW strike that ended up closing plants of General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis, which is Chrysler, for a month and a half, it was discussed openly here in Detroit that this new strategy adopted by the newly elected UAW leadership would be a bit risky. The strike dragged on for about a month and a half, and eventually all three automakers struck a deal that seemed to make everybody happy. So in theory, the strike strategy worked. Particularly Democrats, who hailed it as a new era for union membership and a win for blue-collar workers everywhere, and who traditionally have unions of those workers who support them blindly. Now it looks like their victory lap may have been premature, and the happiness may not last long-term. Since those deals were struck last October, I have started to hear grumblings that the rank and file are not as happy as they were possibly at first because of the devils in the details and they were sold on at the time, particularly the members who do not have seniority, which guarantees them many things they would thought they were going to receive. Then came the news yesterday, which validated some of those concerns I had heard about previously. A year ago, the United Auto Workers was bragging about adding 10,000 members, with the union saying it was just getting started. The later held an unprecedented strike, shutting down production for several American automotive plants in a move that led to higher wages and benefits for many auto workers. But auto companies announced right after several rounds of layoffs since then, and they have had severely cut back on vehicle sales projections, especially for electric vehicles, which we've reported. They've shut down, Ford and those people shut down whole plants. EVs aren't selling. Recently released federal filings with the U.S. Department of Labor shows that the union's total membership is at least the lowest since 2010 during the depths of the national Great Recession at the end of Michigan's economic loss decade. The UAW is down to 370,239 active dues-paying members, a drop of approximately 13,000 from last year. The union had more than 700,000 active members in 2002 before bottoming them out at 355,000 in 2010. This hasn't hurt the union's revenue, however. It took in $485 million last year alone in dues, the highest ever. And what did Trump say when they were negotiating this deal? He said, "You're being sold out. They're going to make these EVs in Mexico, and you're going to all lose your jobs." And that's why Trump is leading in the polls in Michigan, okay? Because the auto workers there aren't going to vote for Biden. They understand that Trump was right again. And while unions should be a good thing, quite frankly, I wish we had real unions to fight Google and Apple and these big, you know, Facebook and those people. They're out of control. We could use unions. The problem is unions don't work because they're totally corrupt, as we just saw. Because if the union wasn't corrupt, they wouldn't have extorted the most money ever for them and for that Marxist, Democrat, communist candidates that they pay to elect, like Joe Biden, to take away their union members' jobs. Okay? If you had real unions, they would be fighting to stop them from taking our jobs. But they don't give a damn about the union's jobs. They just want you to think they do. So two more good stories to end the show. This was very important. You need to go read this at wethepeopleconvention.org. There was a major British study release that calls for the end to the use of puberty blockers on children. And it's just, you know, study after study shows there is no such thing as transgender, and that life-affirming trans care is destroying the lives of children, not saving them, not affirming their care. Yet the U.S. continues to go against the science and push the transgender lie at the behest of China. And when I put that story up at WeThePeopleConvention.org, you can read the study, big study they did in UK, and I have the links to read the story from Breitbart that two Chinese billionaires have funded the entire trans agenda in the U.S. since the start. It is a communist psyop intended to destroy your children, your families, your schools, your communities, your church and to cause chaos. And it's working because the people the Chinese bought, like Joe Biden for millions of dollars, and you know, Chuck Schumer and, you know, Kamala Harris and all the rest of them, are helping China destroy your family, your children, your community, your church, your schools, because they want to destroy America, and they're doing this. But the rest of the West is waking up, and children who identify as transgender have been let down badly by the National Health Service in Britain that succumbed to an activist lobby. Get it? Not because of science, not because this was natural. This is an activist lobby who created this narrative and then pushed it and sold it and intimidated and bribed people to implement it. That is the obvious conclusion to make after Dr. Hilary Cass published her final report this morning as part of the independent review of gender identity services for children and young people. In her report, Cass suggests that there is a serious lack of evidence about the long-term impact puberty blockers and other cross-sex hormones are having on children. While the original rationale for puberty blockers was to give children time to think, don't you know, about transitioning, the report dismantles this argument, pointing out that the vast majority of children move from puberty blockers to cross-sex hormones, and there is no evidence that puberty blockers buy time to think, and some concern they may change the trajectory of the psychosexual and gender identity development. Despite this, the report says researchers could find no evidence that puberty blockers improve children's body dysphoria or body image. The medicalization of children who might simply have been distressed by the idea of puberty and growing up as a scandal of epic proportions is in her report. That's a quote. The cast concludes that most young people should not be going down the medical route if they have gender-related distress, adding that for young people for whom a medical pathway is clinically indicated, it is not enough to provide this without also addressing wider mental health and psychosocial challenging problems such as family breakdowns, barriers to participation in school life or social activities, bullying, and minority stress. The days of the NHS in England handing out puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones to children, some of whom had complex needs, is hopefully behind us. These children need support, not unquestioning affirmation of something that isn't real. The stakes are enormous, as Cass indicates. The medicalization of children who might simply have been distressed by an idea of puberty and growing up is a scandal. And never before have doctors told children they could press pause on puberty, and never before have children, or in some cases their parents, demanded it. About damn time. Go to this article, use the share buttons on our website to share it, read it. It's a fact. This isn't conjecture. This is real science saying transgender is bull crap. It's bull crap. It's made up. It's a psyops by the Chinese, okay? So I am happy to close the program by reporting that the NAIA, College Sports Association, stopped trans players in women's sports. This is just announced this week. The NAIA, which I actually coached in, I worked at colleges in athletics back in the day that were NAIA member schools. The National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics announced a policy Monday that all but bans transgender athletes from competing in women's sports at its 241 mostly small colleges across the country. The NAIA Council of Presidents approved the policy in a 20-0 vote at its annual convention in Kansas City, Missouri. The NAIA, which oversees some 83,000 athletes competing in more than 25 sports, is believed to be the first college sports organization to take such a step, and we need to make sure they sure as hell ain't the last. According to the transgender participation policy, which goes into effect in August, all athletes may participate in NAIA-sponsored male sports, but only athletes whose biological sex assigned at birth is female and have not begun hormone therapy will be allowed to participate in women's sports. A student who has begun hormone therapy may participate in activities such as workouts, practices, and team activities, but not in intercollegiate competition. Have no idea why they put that in there. And AI president and CEO Jim Carr said in an interview with the Associated Press, he understands the policy will generate controversy, but it was what is deemed best for member schools for competitive reasons. Last month, more than a dozen current and former college athletes filed a federal lawsuit against the NCAA, accusing the sports governing body for more than 500,000 athletes of violating their rights by allowing transgender women to compete in women's sports. Hours after the NAIA announcement, the NCAA released a statement, quote, "College sports are the premier stage for women's sports in America, and the NCAA will continue to promote Title IX, make unprecedented investments in women's sports, and ensure fair competition for all student athletes and all NCAA champions. At least 24 states have laws barring transgender women and girls from competing in certain sports, women's or girls' sports competitions." Now, here's the key. About 190 of the 241 NAIA schools are private, and about 125 of those have religious affiliations of varying degrees, Carr said. Of the 20 presidents who voted, 17 are from schools affiliated with Christian denominations. That's how you fight. That's how you act in your sphere. If you are a graduate of an NAIA school, if there is one in your community, it is incumbent upon you, and I'm asking you, to reach out to them this week and say, thank you for defending our children against this tyranny. Thank you for standing up for common sense, for science, and for Christian values. Thank you for acting, because they're going to get the hate calls. They're going to get the hate letters. You got to write to them. You got to call them. You got to call their trustees. You got to call their president. You got to call their athletic director. You got to call their coaches. Send them emails, and you would reinforce this. And if you have an NCAA school in your area, you need to copy this story and send it to them and say, do the right thing and stop injuring women. Stop it. And if your high school association hasn't done this, or your state isn't one of the 24 states that passed these laws, you need to get on it. That's how we get our country back. That's how we defend our fundamental rights. Again, I said at the beginning, the flag's upside down. Why? Because we need to reinsert the rule of law and equal justice under the law. I got a memo for you. Title IX says nothing about trans. It's about biological sex, but they don't give a damn, because their goal is to create chaos and destroy America and destroy America's best resource. What is that? Our young people and the education they get. That's what drives the engine of the United States, right? So what do they want to do? Instead of worrying about studying, they want to confuse these girls at college so they don't learn anything and they get messed up and they ruin their lives. We got to stop that. Okay? We got to stop that. All right? I want to thank you guys who have been continuing to donate to the 2024 Victory Fund. You know, fund the fight. Go to We the People, go to freedomforallpack.org, freedomforallpack.org, and there's a link on our podcast page. Go to freedomforallpack.org and make your donation to help us fight this year, because we got lots of fights between now and November and thereafter. Okay, so that's our federal super PAC. So when you give to the We the People convention, we can pay for things like making donations to Doug Mackey and things like that. But when we're going to do electioneering, buy billboards, pay for signs, do robocalls, we need to do that through our federal super PAC. And that's freedomforallpack.org, freedomforallpack.org. I want to thank Georgina from Blytheville, Ohio, for her donation to Freedom for All PAC. I want to thank Mark from Johnston, Iowa, who made a very generous donation. I tried to call you, Mark, and I got your voicemail and left you a message. But thank you to Patriots who are helping to fund the fight. We need to fight the fight, and I will use the resources you provide to us to get you way more for your money than you're ever going to get giving it to some of these other groups. So thank you for that. As we close the podcast, key thing is tell other people about it. And then write to me with story ideas, with questions, with comments at info@wethepeopleconvention.org. info@wethepeopleconvention.org. We answer them all. Write to us, okay? I had some people who said that I mis-explained the video with Dr. Nels, who was basically saying that COVID was designed to affect our thinking and our brains. And I said that he talked about injecting the COVID vaccine directly into the artery and not into the muscle. And there's a whole paragraph on that, on the transcript, on that page in our video section. And I apparently didn't explain that well. So go read that so you can get it for yourself, okay? But I'm telling you, read that transcript, or I know a lot of you have written to me because I asked you to sign up for TuckerCarlson.com because that's where the most important news is being broken, and watch that piece. I will tell you that he talks about the idea of using lithium and vitamin D3 to help restore your brain. And I read that, and then I researched that, and then I've been having some conversations with our good friend, Dr. Gina, who's in Iowa, about lithium. And so Nan and I started taking it, and I got to tell you, I think it's helping us. I think it's helping us with the long COVID and the confusion and the fog and all that stuff. I'm not a doctor. I can't give you medical advice, but I would listen to what Dr. Nels says about lithium and then do your own research and see what you think. But we decided to take a chance, and we're taking it. So far, so good. Okay? All right. So we're going to wrap up our podcast. I can't thank you enough for all your support, for your donations, for sharing, for, you know, just spreading the word. I ask you to do certain things in this podcast, right? Contact your NAI schools. Most importantly, I'm begging you, man, go to war over this deep nudes nonsense where we're just going to let people destroy young girls. We've got to stop this. You just can't, you know, blow it off. There's no way you can take that image out. When a young girl, I mean, it's unbelievable. You can just take a picture of your phone, put it through the software, and have a nude picture of this girl and send it all over the place. How do you recover from that? We have to stop it, right? We have to stop it. I just think you gotta take action. I've asked you to support, you know, the RNC, the True the Vote, United Sovereignty America. I gave you, you know, the link to that, unitedforamerica.com, the number 4, okay, to donate to them. Keep fighting, keep telling people that we are fighting the election fraud, and 2024 is not going to be like 2020. Keep making sure that's clear, because here's the bottom line. It's real simple. If we don't turn out, we can't win. Whether they cheat or not, at least if we turn out, we can win. You can't suppress our own vote by saying, it's all rigged, you can't vote, they're going to cheat. You can't do that. You say, there's problems, we've got all these groups looking at it, we're fighting it, we're fixing it, and you got to vote, damn it. Understand? You can't suppress our own vote. We got to turn out in numbers like never be seen, because we're fighting an invasion. We're fighting a Marxist takeover. We're fighting for all of our freedom and liberty and prosperity. This ain't no joke, man. This is real. This is serious damage. And pray that Iran doesn't attack Israel and we don't have to retaliate and this all spins off. Pray every day. But understand what this really is and take action. But mostly, turn out people who never would vote and watch that video. I'm telling you, watch that video about Trump's virtues, part 2, and share the heck out of that. Why? That was another ask I had, and man, it's really good. It told me things I forgot. It reminded me of things I forgot, okay? So I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. I hope you have a good week. Do things that are happy, that make you happy, right? Love your family, love each other, you know, and just be a happy warrior. Don't be afraid to fight. Stand up and fight. Be a happy warrior. Be proud that you know that trans is not real. Be proud that you defend young girls. Be proud that you defend freedom and liberty. Be proud that you trust your fellow Americans to fight this fight with you. Be proud. God willing, we'll both be back next week. My name is Tom Zawistowski, and you've been watching the We the People Convention News and Opinion podcast. And God bless you, and God bless America.
Try it.